Baba Kunja Bihari. Chaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Yeah.
वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं
नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमति रजे नष्टप्राय शुभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतं सेवया भवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी किं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुलं गायति यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं तारिणं परमानन्दं माधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्
22 on the board?
22.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, title Dhritarashtra Quits Home, text number 22. Andha,
Andha
Puraiva,
Puraiva
Vadiro,
Vadiro,
Andha Puraiva Vadiro,
Andha Puraiva Vadiro,
Andha Puraiva Vadiro,
Andha Puraiva Vadiro,
Manda,
Manda
प्रज्ञास
चा
संप्राप्तम मंदा प्रज्ञास च संप्राप्तम
मंदा प्रज्ञास च संप्राप्तम
मंदा प्रज्ञास च संप्राप्तम
मंदा प्रज्ञास च संप्राप्तम
विशीर्ण दंतो मन मंदाग्नि विशीर्ण दंतो मंदाग्नि विशीर्ण दंतो मंदाग्नि
विशीर्ण दंतो मंदाग्नि
सरागा कफा उद्वहान सरागा कफा उद्वहान सराग कफाम उद्वाह
सराग कफाम उद्वाह
अंधा पुरैव वदिरो
अंधा पुरैव वदिरो
मंद प्रज्ञाश्च संप्राप्तम
मंद प्रज्ञाश्च संप्राप्तम
विशीर्ण दंतो मंदाग्नि
विशीर्ण दंतो मंदाग्नि
सराग कफाम उद्वाह उद्वाह
सराग कफाम उद्वाह
अन्धपुरैव वादिरो
मन्दप्राज्ञश्च संप्रतम
मन्दप्राज्ञश्च संप्रतम
विशीर्ण दन्तो मन्दाग्नि
विशीर्ण दन्तो मन्दाग्नि
सरागः कफमुद्वहन
सरागः कफमुद्वहन
अन्धपुरैव वादिरो
अन्धपुरैव वादिरो
मंदा प्रज्ञा च संप्रतम
विशिष्टदंतो मंदाग्नि सारा कफम उद्वाह अंधा पुरैव वधिरो मंद प्रज्ञाश्च सांप्रतम विशीर्णदंतो मंदाग्नि सराग कफम उद्वाह. What to a translation? Andaha, blind. Pura, from the beginning. Eva, certainly. Vadiraha, hard of hearing. Manda prajna, memory shortened. Cha, and sampraptam, recently. Vishirna, loosened. Dantaha, teeth. Mandagni, liver action decreased. Saragaha, with sound. Kafam, coughing much mucus. Udvahan, coming out. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Translation: you have been blind from your birth, very birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Please repeat after me. You have been blind.
You have been blind
from your very birth.
From your very birth.
And recently.
And recently.
You have become hard of hearing.
You have become hard of hearing.
Your memory.
Your memory
is shortened.
Is shortened.
And your intelligence.
And your intelligence
is disturbed.
Is disturbed.
Your teeth are loose.
Your teeth are loose.
Your liver is defective.
Your liver is defective.
And you are coughing up mucus.
And you are coughing up mucus.
The symptoms of old age, which are already developed in Dhritarashtra, they are all one after another pointed out to him as warning that death was nearing very quickly. And still he was foolishly carefree about his future. The signs pointed out by Vidura in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakashaya, or dwindling of the material body, before the last stroke of death. The body is born, it develops, stays, creates other bodies, dwindles and then vanishes. But foolish men want to make a permanent settlement of the perishable body and think that their estate, children, society, country, etc. will give them protection. With such foolish ideas, they become overtaken by such temporary engagement and forget altogether that they must give up this temporary body and take a new one, again to arrange for another term of society, friendship, and love, again to perish ultimately. Then they forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupation, forgetting altogether their prime duty. Saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to real situation, but they take such sadhus and saints as parasite of society, and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints. Although they become show-bottled sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiments of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. We'll also continue the translation and purport of text 23 as well. Translation: alas, how powerful you are, the hopes of living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living just like a household dog and are eating remnants of food given by Bhima. Purport: a sadhu should never flatter kings or rich men to live comfortably at their cost. A sadhu is to speak to the householders about the naked truth of life so that they may come to their senses about the precarious life in material existence. Dhritarashtra is a typical example of an attached old man in household life. He had become a pauper in the true sense, yet he wanted to live comfortably in the house of the Pandavas, of whom Bhima especially is mentioned because personally he killed two prominent sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushasana. These two sons were very much dear to him for their notorious and nefarious activities, and Bhima is particularly pointed out because he killed his two pet sons. Why was Dhritarashtra living in their house of the Pandavas? Because he wanted to continue his life comfortably, even at the risk of all humiliation. Vidura, therefore, was astonished how powerful is the urge to continue life. This sense of continuing one's life indicates that a living being is eternally a living entity and does not want to change his bodily habitation. The foolish man does not know that a particular term of the bodily existence is awarded to him to undergo a term of imprisonment, and the human body is awarded after many, many births and deaths as a chance for self-realization to go back home, back to Godhead. But persons like Dhritarashtra try to make plans to live there in a comfortable position with profit and interest, for they do not see things as they are. Dhritarashtra is blind and continues to hope to live comfortably in the midst of all kinds of reverses of life. A sadhu like Vidura is meant to awaken such blind persons and thus help them go back to Godhead, where life is eternal. Once going there, no one wants to come back to this material world of miseries. We can just imagine how responsible a task is entrusted to a sadhu like Mahatma Vidura. That is the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 1, Chapter 13, text number 23 and 24. मम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखामितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Continue our discussion on Dhritarashtra's quitting home. Well, Dhritarashtra has still not decided to quit home. It is Vidura who has completed his pilgrimage to the holy places and come back after instructions from Maitreya Rishi and the enlightenment that he got while he was on his pilgrimage. So, it is basically that we see Jara. Jara is old age. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto, there's a story which was made by Narada Muni. Well, it is not an actual story, it was a made-up story by Narada Muni because he wanted to tell this to Parikshit Maharaj. And old age, or if you go a little beyond, it is Kalakanya. It is the time, daughter of time, Kalakanya. And she was given the seva of killing everybody. But she said, no, then I'll be defaming myself and nobody will like me. So I don't want to take the service of killing everybody. So she went and approached Krishna and she said, no, you can't give me the service. I'm happy to do any kind of service that you would like me to do, but don't give me the service of killing everybody. And Krishna says, you don't have to worry. Nobody will know that you have killed. It is not Kala which is killing. Actually, you are killing, but nobody will know that you are killing. So, there is no blame which will come to you directly on the killing of all these human beings or all these people who are around. And when this was done, if we go deeper into it, what Krishna means by saying that though you are killing, but you are not killing. So Krishna said, it is actually people will be killed by their own problems. It is the time which is actually going to kill them. It is the Kala which is going to kill them, but nobody will know that it is killed by Kala. We come up with a complaint saying that he was killed by an accident. She died of disease. He died of old age. But what is it? Are we getting killed by disease, accident or time? Or disease, accident or old age? No, it is actually time. When the time comes, one needs to leave that body and take another body. We have all the kinds of sufferings which happen. We say, I am suffering because so and so is troubling me or giving me so much of trouble. But it is actually not that person. That person happens to be there by chance, or that thing happens to be there by chance. It is time. When the time comes, wherever you are going to have that trouble. You are going to have that problem. People say you should be careful on the road when you are going. We've heard of people who are sitting at home and having accidents, or having a fall at home, or crashing out at home. So what is it? It is basically the time which is actually hitting them. It is Kala which is hitting them. But we give a reason saying that he had an accident, disease or old age. So, we also see that Krishna sends all those who are our relatives or our near dear ones with whom we interact in everyday life, and they give us a little bit of anxiety or difficulty. They would have been our enemies in the last time, last life or the previous lifetimes. And we would have had some kind of interactions and some grudge pending over them. So they come in this lifetime as our near dear ones, like our brothers, sisters, wife, parents, whoever it is. But then they actually come to close your account. There's always a credit and a debit which happens in the true sense, that we earn some credits and we also get something debited to our account. So for us to balance that account, even that out, they come as our relatives. Especially our relatives and our near dear ones, or those who work very closely with us, and they give us those little difficulties. But then it is time which gives that difficulty. They just become a via media of giving that trouble. So when this trouble comes to us, we should actually take it as the mercy of the Lord, saying that I am getting cleared of my karma which I have committed in the past life, and I am inching towards, I am getting closer, I am going closer one step every time that I have this difficulty, to leave everything behind and go back home, back to Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of one's lifetime. And you know, when time comes, distress comes, and it is not because of people around us. They are just, as I said, instruments, or they just become the via media of having that difficulty in us. We've all heard the story of King Chitraketu. And King Chitraketu was childless, though very famous, had a big kingdom, very, very opulent, had every comfort of life. But he was unhappy, saying that I was childless, or he was childless. So at the end of the day, Angira Muni comes there and he begs to Angira Muni, saying that I am very sad, despite my praja being happy, despite my ministers being good, despite my having a good family, me having a big palace, I have all the riches of life. And Angira Muni tries to explain to him, saying that these are all a part of our life. In Bhagavad Gita we hear different seasons, you know, which come and go, and one needs to be very, very balanced. So here Angira Muni advises him, but still, because of his putra moha that Chitraketu has, he insists that I would like to have a child. And Angira Muni finally blesses him, and his first queen, the eldest queen, begets a child. Now what happens is, because he was immersed into the putra moha, he starts loving his first wife more. He starts giving a lot of time to the child and the first queen. And by this, the other queens are disturbed, saying that we are not getting time. And at a later date, they decide to poison the child. He was named what? Harsha Shoka. So the Harsha Shoka, Harsha's happiness and Shoka, he actually becomes the cause of his happiness. When he was born, he was the cause of his happiness. But when he dies, when he was poisoned, the little boy or the little prince, when he was poisoned, he becomes the cause of his Shoka. So we see that it is time, it is basically the time which takes care of the difficulties that we go through. And tolerating the difficulties that we get is the best way to move towards liberation. Because the ultimate goal of a human life is to move towards liberation. Here also we see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes it very, very nicely. He explains that Bhima was the cause of death of Dhritarashtra's most loved sons, the two most loved sons, Dushasana and Duryodhana. But still, he was captivated in the material life, in the actual material life, that he did not even want to leave them. And he never had that kind of a animosity towards Bhima, saying that you killed my dear sons and I'm going to take revenge, or I'm not happy with you. But still he was dependent on him. And Srila Prabhupada makes it a point saying that all the people living in this material life who are not detached from their karmic activities are like Dhritarashtra, who do not want to leave what they are having currently and retire after 50 years of age. It is very strongly recommended that at the age of 50 one should retire from his worldly activities. That doesn't mean that one should stop doing anything. He should retire from his worldly responsibilities, hand it over to his children, to his grandchildren. And in the current day scenario, it is not possible for one to head towards either Himalayas or the forest. So they should stay at home and practice Krishna consciousness very nicely. We see this by examples also. When Maharaj Yudhishthir heard that Krishna had left this material world and gone back to his eternal abode, he feels very sad about it, because Krishna was there always guiding the Pandavas and the whole family, and including Yudhishthir Maharaj, because he was the eldest one and he was ruling. He was always guided by Krishna, by the principles of Dharma. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj hears this, he stopped. He handed over his kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj. He said, now you rule the kingdom. I am not going to be actively involved in the activities. He started refraining from wearing heavy or, you know, expensive garments. He stopped using the royal things. He confined himself into his only room. He also started wearing, you know, garments or, you know, kaupin, and, you know, started practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely. He kept only remembering. Looking at this, the other four brothers also followed him, saying that this is the righteous path, this is the right way, but that one needs to retire from the worldly affairs. Having handed over the kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj, they also started following the footsteps of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Looking at this, Draupadi and Subhadra also said, how do we go back? Our husbands have led the path, they have laid this path for us to go back home. They have all gone back home, back to Godhead. We should also go back. And that's the way that one needs to really look at it. Now, coming back to the old life, old age that we see, a very nice story of Yayati Maharaj. Yayati Maharaj married Devyani, and once he married Devyani, she had a maid called Sharmista, who also followed after their marriage. And Yayati Maharaj actually begot a child to Sharmista. And hearing this, Devyani got very, very annoyed, saying that this is not the correct thing. And she decided to leave the house and go back to her father's house. And despite all the efforts of Yayati Maharaj to please her, falling at her feet, saying that, no, don't do it, requesting, crying, begging, she decides to move. And when Shukracharya gets to know this, that such and such thing has happened, and Devyani is given this update to Shukracharya, he curses Yayati Maharaj. What is the curse? Saying that you become an old man, age. And with this, Yayati Maharaj feels very sad, saying that, what will I do if I have become old? I will not enjoy anything. I will not enjoy my kingdom. I will not enjoy anything which is around. So he goes back to his sons and says, can you please take... So, just a little one step behind, he says to Shukracharya, saying that, no, you made me old, but your daughter is still young. So, you know, it is not the right match. It will not be the right thing. So, Shukracharya gives a little leeway in the curse that he had given, saying that if somebody is ready to take your old age, you have no problem. You can exchange your old age with somebody else. And with this, Yayati Maharaj goes to his sons and says, can you please take my old age? So the sons of Yayati Maharaj say, no, why should we take old age? You know, you've enjoyed. We also want to enjoy our youth. We want to all to enjoy everything that is available around. We will not take your old age. But finally, Purva, one of his sons, takes the old age. And so you can see, even realized souls find it so difficult to get into old age, which is actually a curse. But in the right sense of a devotee, old age is not a curse. It is actually a blessing for a person who takes it in the right spirit of it. When old age comes, one actually gets the advantage of leaving his material responsibilities or worldly responsibilities and proceeds towards the progress in spiritual life. And once somebody takes up to this path of progress in spiritual life, he can go back to Godhead. So, actually old age gives us a notice. You know, I remember Sarvabhauma Prabhu making this statement very clearly. If you see, this is also very, very practical. Once we start growing a little older, the first white hair comes near the ears. Yeah, so it gives you an indication in the ear saying that, hey, look, now you need to progress towards spiritual life. But we still don't hear. So as you see, it is growing here and then it starts growing upwards and then the whole thing is white. So it is actually an indication. It gives you a notice that you are going towards leaving this body. And before you leave this body, the material body which has been given to you after many, many lifetimes, you please complete successfully the opportunity that is given to you without wasting this lifetime. Nowadays we see in the material world, in our own eyes, saying that the father or the mother work very hard to bring up their children. When the children are grown up, they get them married, and once they retire from their work, they don't retire from worldly life, they retire from work, they try and manage the grandchildren. So they actually become their babysitters, or they become their guardians at home to take care of their grandchildren. And if people do not have that kind of an ability, they actually get some pets at home, either a dog or a cat or some other pet at home, and take care of them so well. And people realize, or people think, that I am master of the dog, but actually we are not masters of anything. When the dog goes out on the road, you have no control. If he sees a pole and he stops there to answer nature's call, you have to also stop. So he is actually your boss. You are not the dog's boss. So people take up to such subservient kind of a service, either to bring up their grandchildren or to bring up dogs or cats, which is not the right direction that one needs to head. Our shastras very clearly indicate that at the age of 50 plus, one needs to retire from active worldly life, start preaching, give up the grahastha ashram and take something called as the vanaprastha ashram, and maybe over a period of time, for some of them, it is also sannyas ashram. So Srila Prabhupada also, we see people say, no, what can we do after 50? Our body is not very active, we are not very strong, we don't have so much of energy. But we see with examples of Srila Prabhupada that at the age of 70 plus, he established such a wonderful movement called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And this movement of ISKCON, he spread across the world. He traveled all over the world 14 times in the span of 12 years that he spent. So anybody at any age can do it. It is possible If it is possible for Srila Prabhupada, it is possible for anybody and everybody. There was also a survey done by CNN which said they listed among people who achieved a lot after 50 plus. And Srila Prabhupada's name appeared there as among the top, saying that he is one of those who has actually done such a wonderful work of preaching the Krishna consciousness across the world. Also, we talk about sadhu. Srila Prabhupada makes a reference in both the shlokas, in both the purports, that the sadhus are meant for preaching. Sadhus actually come home and they give us the knowledge or guide the grahasthas as to what should be their next course of action that one needs to do. Here we also look back at the story of Narad Muni. Narad Muni converted the sons of, 100 sons of, 1000 sons of Daksh. And Daksh Maharaj actually curses Narad Muni. And it is also said he cursed him as a parasite. Actually, sadhus are not parasite. What is a parasite? Parasite is something that actually leaves on something else. But sadhus, in the true sense of being a sadhu or a saint, never leaves on somebody. Actually, people leave on them. People leave on their guidelines, and they leave on how they need to progress in Krishna consciousness. And sadhus are meant to use what kind of words? Very flowery language. Very good. Palatable things. No? They are supposed to be using very straightforward and bitter things. Yeah? It should actually taste very bitter. Then only people realize there are a lot of diseases which can be cured. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Mahi Ki Jai, Radha Krishna Chandra Ji Ki Jai, Lakshmi Narasingha Dev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So bitter pills are given for people to get cured of their diseases. And sadhus and saintly persons also come and speak bitter truth of life. And that can make people realize their true condition of what they need to progress, where they need to progress, and what they need to do going forward. So sadhus should not really get worried about what people will think or why people will feel bad about it. Actually, Vidura speaks the bitter truth to Dhritarashtra, saying that you are like a dog. Can somebody speak like that to their brother? No. He was his elder brother. If we remember the in the previous verses, we have noticed that Dhritarashtra was very fond of Vidura, and Vidura was a Dasi Putra, and Dhritarashtra also loved him equally because he was very competent, he was very educated, very well versed in all the Shastra, and he was a very dharmic person. You know, he was following the Dharma. So despite his being very younger to him in age, Dhritarashtra was also the king and he was assisting him as one of the ministers. How could he use bitter words? But then he felt that it was very important for a sadhu to speak bitter word for the worldly people to realize their mistakes or to realize their future course of action that they need to perform. So that is where Vidura speaks very bitter words to Dhritarashtra. And at the time of death, you know, as we go closer, when we grow old, or when anybody grows old, they go closer to the death. And what does death mean? Death means the soul is eternal, it is never dying, but it is the death of the material body which is given to us. And as one progresses towards death, nobody can help except the holy name of the Lord, except Krishna, nobody can help. After, anyway, we are going to read that, but just to make a reference, after two chapters, we see that Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, I mentioned this, he knows that Krishna has left the world and then he also follows. So there are examples given within Srimad Bhagavatam as well, as to at certain age, when we become old, we should practice Krishna consciousness and leave the worldly requirements that we do. Well, if we look at it in the material world, at the time of death, nobody is going to help us. It is like a pilot. Pilot is actually trained in the lab, you know, in an environment which is created like to be in the air. And there you have the assistants, the teachers, the trainers and all that who guide them. But when the pilot actually takes off in an independent flight, he is all alone. He has to take his own decisions. He has to make his own efforts. Though he may have a problem, he can communicate with other pilots in the other planes or with the ground staff or with the ground personnel. But then the effort has to be made by the pilot. The teachers at that point of time cannot come and help him. Likewise, when we are inching towards or when we are heading towards death, it is only our endeavor. Nothing else can help. Yes, devotees can help us in the initial days in our practice of Krishna consciousness. They can also help us cultivate our spiritual life. Guru can also help us, guide us, give us the guidelines as to what one needs to do. But when death comes closer, it is only an individual who has to put the efforts, and that is the result the result of that effort will only take him home back to Godhead. Yes, at the time of death, there will be devotees around who will be chanting, but one has to make his own efforts to chant for himself. And Srila Prabhupada at one place says that we should be like butchers. We should be like butchers with very sharp knives. And to butcher what? The greed that we have, the lust that we have, and especially the attachment that we have to the bodily conception of life. And while the surgery is done, the knife has to be very, very sharp. You know, when we use the knife for surgery, a blunt knife cannot really give you any result. And when you cut open something, you need the sharpest of the thing which can easily cut it. So it is very important for us to sharpen our knives, you know, while we are in good health or while we are still practicing Krishna consciousness in good bodily health. So Srila Prabhupada also made the statement in 1977 when few of his disciples, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and some of his disciples who had not seen him for a long time came to see him at Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada was not in best of his health and he was about to leave this material world. And when few of his disciples came to see him, they saw Srila Prabhupada in that condition and they were wonderstruck. And you know, they were thinking, oh, what happened to Srila Prabhupada? So Srila Prabhupada, even at that point of time, realizes the mind of his disciples and says, don't think that this is not going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you also. So Srila Prabhupada indicates directly to us, saying that don't think that any one of you are immortal. You're going to leave all your, you know, you're not going to die. Is that what you think? No. Death is going to come to anybody. And we have seen in our own eyes, with this material world being around, there are children who are just born and they die. There are children who are 5 years of age and they die. There are children of 20 years or 16 years and they die. There are youth of about 20, 25 years, they die. There are people of any age that die. So one need not actually wait to get into 50 years of age and then start practicing Krishna consciousness or take up Krishna consciousness seriously. Right from the word go, right from day one, one needs to take up to Krishna consciousness very seriously. We don't know at what time of our life death can strike us. And Parikshit Maharaj had this blessing that he got this advance notice of saying that you will die after 7 days. But likewise, none of us will get even 7 seconds notice. You will not know that you're going to leave this body and go. So it is very important that we understand that death is right in front of us and I can leave my body anytime. This is a very practical example that I've seen a person who underwent MRI scan, and I was there, so I can vouch for it. Very strong man. He could do anything and everything, but then when he was put under the MRI scan, the kind of claustrophobic feeling that one feels, he was feeling that every moment that he would die. He was actually saying that, no, I want to get out of this scan, I will not get this scan done. And he started chanting the holy name. Yeah, he was chanting the holy name there. But when you see him outside, he wouldn't even think of God. So it is possible that we can chant the holy name when we are in trouble, but not all the times. Here he knew that he was going into the scan, and that's where he started chanting, and he was not comfortable there. But then who knows as to when one can die? Yeah, we've seen the newspapers a couple of days back, you know, people went for a vacation and then their boat capsized and they all died. Brahmananda Swami, when he was the sannyasi, he made this statement, you know, that some of the survivors of Titanic, the Titanic which sank, they made this, the survivors made this confession to Brahmananda Maharaj, saying that just before they were to die, they wanted to take everything. They wanted to enjoy, they wanted to, you know, drink, they wanted to have everything possible and then die. But then what is the next destination? Nobody realized. But when they actually, the boat capsized, or when it was shrinking, when it was sinking rather, they realized that they should have done something better. And realizing at that point of time that we should have done something better is not enough. One needs to practice this all their life. And when they start practicing at an early age, then only it is possible that one can achieve the real goal of life. If we also see sadhus in comparison, Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, don't go to a dhoti sadhu. It is very easy to identify who is the true friend of humanity or a true friend of a devotee, a sadhu or a saintly person. One is by his bitter words that he talks to you. Second one is he is nowhere interested in your material opulence. He is not very interested in your material opulence. He is okay, he doesn't want anything from you. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is said Sukadev Goswami did not stay in a place for any time more than milking the cow. I'm sure you must have heard of this. If Sukadev Goswami goes to somebody's house, he will wait only till the time the cow is milked. He takes the milk, fresh milk, and he moves. He has never stayed beyond that. Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, that you have never stayed in any house or any place for more than that duration of milking the cow. How did you spend 7 days giving this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah? So we understand that Sukadeva Goswami gave this knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj and the assembly of all the devotees there because he was concerned about their well-being and he wanted them all to understand this and spread. So the understanding is a true sadhu is a person who is concerned about the well-being of the others. He is not worried about himself. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami did not have anything, but he was worried about the assembly of devotees and Parikshit Maharaj, and he spent 7 days without water, without sleep, without food. So that is the quality of a sadhu. So as we see here, Vidura is also somebody similar to that. He wants Dhritarashtra to realize that now it's time that you should retire from the worldly affairs of the kingdom and your Pandavas and Panduputras and all of them, and you should head towards the forest, towards your spiritual progress. So I will end here. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them, and also if there are any comments or correction, I'll be happy to take them.